With enough practice, Lee Carriage believes that almost anybody can learn how to sing. And well, thanks so much for joining us on the show today, Lee.
Hey, Julia, pleased to join you.
So that's really good news for almost everyone. However, I say almost because some people do actually have a special condition which causes difficulties learning how to sing. Can you explain what this is?
Yeah. Look, I do believe that if you have a pair of vocal folds and they're the things that vibrate inside your larynx and everything's working quite well in your instrument, then about 98.5% of the population can sing. And then there's this really small component of the population. It's only about 1 to 1.5% of the population have a condition called congenital amusica, and they have a real difficulty discriminating between pitches that are higher or lower, and sometimes even rhythm. They can't discern between the rhythm. So if we were to sing the last track or a little bit of Happy Birthday or something, and you sang a few wrong notes within that, they wouldn't be able to detect the errors in that song. And so someone with congenital amusica, they just don't notice that there's anything wrong, even though you and I would be able to discern that there was, you know, a few missing notes.
All right. That's very unfortunate.
But it's a small group. It's only a small group, Julia. There's a big population of people who can sing.
Well, that is good news then. Can you tell us a little bit the science behind how singing actually works?
Yeah. Well, look, there's a lot of scientists. I'm not a scientist, but I've read broadly. And in Sydney, of course, there's some great practitioners. And Verena Sansone is one of them. She's a great teacher at the Con, and there are lots of others. But in essence, it works by coordinating all these large and small muscles. And then all those muscles need to be both strong, but they also need to be flexible. And then what happens is a person is trying to coordinate the air pressure in their lungs, and they use a whole range of abdominal muscles to coordinate that air through the larynx, the trachea, and then it meets the vocal folds. That air starts to vibrate, making the vocal folds vibrate. And then, you know, as you get better and better as a singer, then you start to coordinate all the other things that are required and in terms of tone and technique and pitch and, you know, agility. And they all come, like anything, no one learns to drive straight away. And the same thing happens with singing.
Right. So a singing voice teacher, Jeanette Lovetree, actually said it takes about 10 years to be a master singer. Does it take this long?
Well, you know, I mean, Jeanette Lovetree is an amazing New York teacher, and she's, you know, an aficionado of this, and she's been teaching, I think, for 40-odd years. It depends what you want. I think, look, there is such a panorama of singing styles and approaches. You know, some people have a really soft, simple spoken delivery, and it's beautiful, like this amazing singer called Stina Nordenstam or Leonard Cohen. And then there are really highly technically demanding, amazing coordinators. I even think, Kate Miller-Heike is one of those people, or Katie Noonan, Napalm from Hiatus Coyote. She's one of my favorite coordinators of these incredible colors and things. Or as wildly unique as Joanna Newsom or Björk or someone. So it depends on that definition of master singer. I think what she's talking about really is saying there's so much experimentation and development that the idea is that once you've mastered all these kind of technical things, the idea is that then you, whatever you imagine in your mind, that you can technically create, you know, within reason, you know. So that's kind of, you know, if that takes 1 year for somebody and 20 years for another, then that is what your journey is.
For sure. It's definitely an immediate kind of expression of self.
Yes.
Straight from the mouth. Singing also has many benefits for our mental and physical states. Can you elaborate on some of these ways?
Yeah. Well, firstly, of course, you know, you breathe a lot and you've been breathing all your life, but when you sing, you take the breath and you really work on lung capacity. So it can improve that. And by improving that, you get heart health benefits, which is fantastic. Then there's the oxytocin you get. You get a release of happy hormone. It can sort of pick up the mood, and it can help you reduce pain. and which leads to some immunity, but also because you're working with your left brain and right brain, as most musicians are coordinating both of those hemispheres, singing helps, you know, some brain activity, gives you a bit of brain yoga. And, you know, to be honest, the other thing that we overlook with this is that it brings in a sense of community, whether you work with in a duo or a full orchestra, or you work in a, you know, in a community choir, or you sing in the shower, or, you know, maybe that's not the best one, but as an example, but it also brings in a sense of community and connection to others. And I think that's why we all love singing so much, and perhaps we're so critical about it too.
That's a good point. Well, I'm definitely more optimistic about my own singing. So,
good.
And I'm sure our listeners are as well. Thank you, Lee, so much for joining us on the show today.
Oh, thanks, Julia. Take care. All the best.